Good morning, sir. Could you please state your name and your ADC number for the record? Thank you, sir. Just give me one second here. We have paperwork, of course. And good morning. It's still morning. Good. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding the, I think there are two allegations on your warrant of arrest. And you should have been given a form notifying you about this hearing about 5 days ago, at least 5 days ago, and it looks like you signed your form on October 16th. Is that correct?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. And on that form was a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. I don't see a lawyer today. I don't think there's a lawyer in the room, and no lawyer with you. Are you representing yourself today?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting this hearing. You can see on the video, there are four board members today. And if you look clear down at the other end of the bench from me, that's the Honorable Mr. David Neal. Right next to him is the Honorable Michael Johnson. Right next to me here is the Honorable Louis Quinones. My name's Gail Rittenhouse, and I'll be the panel chair for your hearing today. Also with us in the room is Mr. Osborne, a community corrections officer with Department of Corrections, and he will be representing both the department and your parole officer today. All right. So we also have some guests in the room. Do we have a sheet that has...
I don't see the sheet down here, so...
Yeah, I was actually looking for it earlier, too.
Okay. Did you sign in on a paper?
No, I did, yes.
I wonder where it is. All right. Maybe he didn't bring it in here. Okay, Mr. Terry, I'm going to collect the names of the people that are here to speak on your behalf today. So,
Ashley Ellsworth.
Okay. All right.
And Isaiah.
Okay.
Navarro.
Isaiah. I hope I can read my writing when I'm done.
Tara Perdue.
Are you all going to speak?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else going to speak?
Miguel Terran.
Oh, okay. All right. And that's it? Just the four?
And his goddaughter is here too.
Not going to speak, though.
She
might cry, but that would be all. Oh, I'm sorry. Could you
spell? Joanna
Hotta,
J-A-R-A.
Okay. Okay, good. Thank you so much. All right, so we're at a point now for those who are going to testify. Mr. Tyreen and Ms. Ellsworth, Mr. Navarro, Ms. Perdue, Mr. Tyreen, and Ms. Hara, and Mr. Osborne, do you swear? Solemnly swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Tony?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, another Mr. Tony? Okay.
Yes? I do.
Yes?
Yes.
Mr. Osborne?
I do.
Okay, thank you so much, everyone. The hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one is to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of supervision. And then phase two, the board will determine whether to reinstate your supervision in the community or to revoke that. So, Mr. Turing, I'm going to read information from your warrant, these two allegations. And as I read them to you, I need you to tell me if each one is true or false. If you believe it's false, we'll take some information from Department of Corrections, and then we can talk about it a little bit more. And then the board will make the final determination as to whether you violated your conditions. Do you understand that process?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. We'll now start phase one of the hearing then. And the first allegation on the warrant is this. It says that you violated the Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 5 as demonstrated by your engagement in physically assaultive behavior on or about September 12, 2017 in Maricopa County, Arizona. Mr. Jody, is that true or false?
That is false, ma'am.
Okay. Allegation number two is that you were in violation of condition of supervision number five also, as engaged, as demonstrated by engagement in physically assaultive behavior on or about August 21st, 2017, in Maricopa County, Arizona. Mr. Jody, is that true or false?
Also false, ma'am.
False? All right. Let's hear, we have some information from Mr. Osborne. And if you'd just remain on the line there, Mr. Osborne.
Yes, ma'am. Allegation number one. On September 12th of 2017, according to a victim statement provided by Pedro Navarro, the offender, Doreen Alejandro, agency number 230313, verbally threatened Mr. Navarro after a family court appearance had, excuse me, and had to be physically restrained by Ms. Ellsworth, according to Mr. Navarro, at the conclusion of the family court hearing. Mr. Navarro and his girlfriend, Ms. Marsh, remained inside the court building for approximately 15 minutes in an effort to avoid any type of contact or confrontation with the offender and his girlfriend, Ms. Ellsworth. Mr. Navarro stated there had been previous confrontation between the two parties and his girlfriend, Ms. Ellsworth, usually pertaining to the common children of Mr. Navarro and Ms. Ellsworth. Mr. Navarro reported that upon their exit from the family court building, he observed the offender and Ms. Ellsworth, who appeared to be waiting for them, standing on the adjacent corner. Mr. Navarro stated that in the effort to avoid confrontation, he and Ms. Marks immediately turned and walked in the opposite direction. It was further explained by Mr. Navarro that the offender and Ms. Ellsworth were waiting near the entrance to a parking structure that contained Mr. Navarro's vehicle. As Mr. Navarro and Ms. Marks continued in the opposite direction from their vehicle, Mr. Navarro reports that the offender and Ms. Ellsworth began following them, making verbal threats. Mr. Navarro stated the offender started yelling, "I will kick your ass," and that the offender also stated, "I could have you handled if I wanted to." It is at this point that Mr. Navarro reports the offender began to close the distance between the two parties and was physically restrained by Ms. Ellsworth. Mr. Navarro states that on numerous occasions, Ms. Ellsworth has cautioned Mr. Navarro, stating the offender is a member of the New Mexican Mafia and receives calls daily inside, placed by inmates awaiting his instructions. Mr. Navarro states that the fears for his safety, the safety of his girlfriend, and the safety of his children. Follow-up, on September 13th of 2017, due to a rapidly progressing pattern of violent and assaultive behavior by the offender, on more than one occasion, and the offender's violent history, the offender was returned to custody.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Mr. Turing, what is not true about that incident?
Well, first of all, I was never inside the court building that day with them. I was outside waiting by the parking lot where our vehicle was parked, and just for the fact to avoid any type of confrontation with them, I don't. So I waited outside, waited for Ashley outside. We left. I've never said anything to him, you know. And they stated to us that why were we following them, and that they had some type of restraining order on us. But as he stated, we were both parked that towards the same parking lot. That's why we were headed that way. But I never threatened, or I never insulted, or I never intended to harm anybody. It was just we were into the same parking lot. That was it.
All right, thank you. Mr. Osborne, allegation number two about assaultive behavior on August 21st.
Yes, ma'am. On August 13th of 2017, according to a statement provided by Aaron Lois March, the offender, Taryn Alejandro, ADC number 230313, made verbal and physical threats towards Ms. March and Mr. Navarro. Ms. March felt so threatened by the offender's action that a call was placed to 911 requesting assistance from the Mesa Police Department. Subsequently, on August 21st, 2017, an injunction against harassment was awarded to Ms. Marsh against the offender by the Mesa Municipal Court. follow-up. On September 13th of 2017, due to a rapidly progressing pattern of violent and assaulted behavior by the offender on more than one occasion, and the offender's violent history, the offender was returned to custody.
So, Mr. Terry, what about the incident or the what Mr. Osborne just described on or around August 13th is not true?
Well, to be honest with you, I had no knowledge that I had the police call on me. I have, since I've been out, since I have not released from prison, I have never had any police contact. I have never been involved in anything. I've never, like, I had not, the time I was in Alhambra, I've noticed she came to serve me herself in the papers stating that I had some type of injunction against me, which I have no, And I mean, as you can see, I had no police contact. There was never police called on me, so I had no knowledge of that I was being accused of that.
So I'm sorry, did you say that she did come to Alhambra and earlier?
She that's why I don't understand what she's saying, that she felt so threatened by me that she had to go and put this type of injunction on me. But she comes herself to Alhambra to serve me the papers. I really didn't know that I had that against me. I
have
no knowledge of it.
All right. Well, Mr. Turing, just to move this hearing along, I'm going to make a motion, and I'm going to my motion will be, I move to based on testimony by the Department of Corrections. I'm going to move to find that Mr. Terrain was delinquent and violated the terms and conditions of the supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company, specifically on allegation number one regarding an incident that was described on September 12th, and allegation number two, an incident described that occurred on August 21st, in which an individual felt threatened, had the PD called, and eventually got an injunction against harassment against the offender. So that is my motion.
Second.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Great.
Okay. Mr. Terrain, we're going to move into phase two of this hearing and determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. Before we move on, we're going to have Mr. Osborne give us a little bit of background information about you and kind of your supervision. So just stand by. We'll be right back with you. Mr. Osborne.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Turing was released from DOC custody on December 14th of 2016. He was arrested on September 13th of 2017. The parole office, on a tech violation, was returned back to custody that same day, with 0 scound days, with a community supervision end date of September 12th of 2018. Current conviction, 2008, drive-by shooting, 10 years, 6 months. He's had one term with DOC, has a CUIR score of 3-4, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 2. There is SCG and gang information noted that he suspected New Mexican Mafia, a member of the Psycho Trece criminal street gang. That's what's listed names. He has a moderate disciplinary history with drugs and threats noted. Other arrests, 1998, criminal damage, AZ juvenile probation. 1998, theft, AZ juvenile probation. 2000, burglary second degree, AZ juvenile probation. 2000, burglary third degree, AZ juvenile probation. 2006, aggravated assault, AZ unknown. And 2006, assistant criminal syndicate, lead gang, Arizona felony conviction probation. He has a community risk score of G6V6, and I do have an email attached from senior officer Tim Allen, dated Wednesday, October 18th of 2017. States the defendant was taken into custody due to his threatening behavior towards the victims who provided statements. An injunction of harassment was also filed against the offender by one of the victims.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Ms. Ebbene?
Yes, sir.
May I ask a follow-up question?
Please, please do.
Mr. Osborne, just a quick follow-up. I don't think I've asked this before, but is there additional STG information in Ames? I mean, because there's the business of debriefing and that sort of thing.
Yes, sir, let me pull up the Ames experience.
Thank you, that's great.
Thank you, Ms. Ebbene.
Yes, sir, if I may.
Yes, sir.
It states that on May 28th of 2008, per the Arizona DPS Dignit, indicates inmate Tran is a member of the Psycho Trece. And then on September 30th of 2010, SSSU discovered a roll call list in the property of inmate Tran. The list contained the names and monikers of 388 inmates on the Cheyenne Yard that were suspected Mexican Mafia members.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. So back to you, Mr. Tarine. It looks like when you were released, you had a placement with your mother at 318 North 40th Avenue in Phoenix?
Yes.
And you lived there the entire time?
Yes.
That you were on supervision? Okay. All right, and then there are quite a few notes about employment. It looks like you were working with something called Flying Food.
Yes.
What's that? What is that, just a restaurant?
A warehouse that they were packaging food. I only worked there for one day, and I was on some money. I had a better job, so
okay. I was just interested by the name Flying Food. I was just picturing food flying. So okay, and then you have it looked like you worked for PRT. What's PRT?
That was a company where they hired people for different types of jobs that they never come.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, and then VW Dig on 40th Street.
Yes.
And you worked there too? How long did you work there?
I worked there for possibly like 3 months.
Oh, good. Okay. And then you also worked with Kaiko Roofing. I thought I saw a letter from, yes, somebody at Kaiko Roofing. How long did you work for Kaiko?
About 5 or 6 months.
5 or 6 months. Okay. I know I saw it. Oh, here it is. Okay. It said they're extremely pleased with your work ethic, your job performance, you're punctual and professional. So good job there. That's always a good thing. So Kaiko Roofing, good. All right, and you also, it looks like you you were responsible to submit urine samples for task, and you did 10 samples, which were negative, which is a good thing. And you also were referred for anger management and substance abuse counseling. You successfully completed, and it looks like you were pretty successful at that treatment too, the substance abuse treatment. Have you had a drug problem in the past, sir?
No.
No? I see just a couple of...
That was actually an anger management class that I was taking.
Okay, because it says here that it was substance abuse counseling too.
No, it was only anger management.
Only anger management? Okay, so I'll just cross this out. But I also note, and Mr. Osborne mentioned that your discipline history at corrections includes some drug violations related to drugs. What was that about? What were those about?
I had a refusal to provide the test sample, so then I was going to lay some before.
And why would you have refused?
I mean, I've made bad decisions, you know, which I regret now, and I just something I really wasn't up for.
Because you understand when someone refuses, the assumption is they're refusing because they're dirty. So, I mean, it's kind of, that's the logic of that. Okay. All right. Let's see. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have questions for you. Anyone have a question? Mr. Neal?
All right. Well, a few questions. Were you ever served with that court order against harassment?
No, I was never served until I had no notice to act. No, I had no knowledge until I was in Alhambra when this lady came and served the papers herself. And I had no knowledge of it. That's why I didn't know that the police was called. I mean, I never had no police contact. I had no knowledge of it at all.
Okay. Let's see. All right, there was mention of 911 call in the allegations, but it seems that the Mesa Police Department have no record of any contact with you. At any time during any of these accusations, did the police actually respond and talk to you?
Never, not once.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. I am not really seeing any other questions that I have for you. Mr. Osborne, did you have a comment? No?
No, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. I thought I saw you raise your hand. All right. Well, you have a number of supporters here today, Mr. Torian, so I'd like to invite them to come up and share whatever they want. In whatever order you want to come, if you just come right up here and you can kind of bend that microphone so it comes closer to you, to your face. That's good. And state your name first, and even though you've already told us, but...
Good afternoon. My name is Ashley Ellsworth.
Okay, thank you. And what would you like the board to know?
Mr. Tarrant is my boyfriend. The allegations put forth against him, unfortunately, are from the biological father of my children. Unfortunately, the allegations are false. Unfortunately, all the proof I have submitted. Mr. Tarrant has never done what has been accused of. If anything, I don't want to put anything against anybody, and I don't want to say this, but I'm going to tell you in my own words. It's out of pure jealousy and spite. The father has never been around since I left him 4 years ago, and he only started coming around because Mr. Tarrant is the first man I've ever brought around my children. Mr. Tarrant, honest to God, has done nothing but good for my children. They call him Dad. They call my kids Dad, stepdad. My kids were doing miserable before he came in the picture. They started being happy, doing good in school, listening. One of my children was kind of having a rough patch, and he was able to help him. And now we're no longer going through that. It all started to make things worse. My children's father is also a parole officer. So it kind of escalated, and multiple times it was noted that maybe we need to change offices, maybe things need to happen. There have been multiple conversations take place about that, because a lot of information was getting back to my kid's father that he shouldn't have known. Just simple things, just day-to-day conversations whenever they would check in. Mr. Tarrant never ever missed an appointment with his parole officer. He did everything and anything asked. He really, 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 really tried his hardest and was doing everything on the straight and narrow. I feel like a great injustice happened to him. He had a rough upbringing. Unfortunately, they didn't live in the best neighborhood. His brothers and himself have seen their time in DOC. It happened when he was very young, at a young age. He did come out and change his ways. The allegations that were said, that I said, never took place, and I can testify that never happened. I never said anything. I can tell you that my kids want their dad home. My kids miss him. And now they're doing miserable again in school and at home because they don't know how to adjust with losing the only person that actually cared. So I beg of you to find it in your hearts and in the proof that I've provided to see that unfortunately, sometimes out of spite, things happen. And hopefully we can see the truth in all of this. Thank you for your time.
Okay, just one second. Any questions, Mr. Neal?
Mr. Navarro, that's mentioned in here, is a parole officer.
Mr. Navarro is my children's father. Mr. Crumpleman, I submitted a letter. Mr. Crumpleman was the parole officer.
Right.
And, so the sister actually has even been to Mr. Tarrant's residence with Mr. Crumpleman after it was noted that they knew each other. It's been a mess from the get-go.
Who's the sister?
So, sister?
Yeah.
I'm kind of confused.
I am very confused.
I'm sorry.
This whole, the whole thing, who's who, and
it's
I understand you and Mr. Tarrant, your kid's father.
And his now ex-girlfriend are the ones that made the accusations.
Okay, so that's where, so who, because I thought that you said that, who's the parole officer?
What's the parole?
The parole officer is Jason Crumpleman.
And so how are these related?
Abedero and him are actually on good terms. If you even read the letter that I submitted.
Pedro,
Mr. Navarro is Pedro. That's my kid's father. Him and Jason Crumpleman, who is Mr. Tarrant's parole officer, are on good terms. They are what you would call acquaintances.
So they're friends. So
and on the letter, he doesn't even address him as Mr. Crumpleman. He says Jason.
So Mr. the parole officer and Mr. Tarrant and your baby's father are good friends.
Are acquaintances because my kid's father's sister sits next to Mr. Crumpleman in the office. Down the ways from here.
Your kid's father's sister.
Exactly.
This is making it hard. His sister, Mr. Navarro's sister, is a parole officer in the same facility where Mr. Dunning's parole officer is. Like, they've been to his house various times together. The sister and the parole officer have been to Mr. Dunning's.
And then the parole officer obviously knows Mr. Navarro because they go to lunch and what for when the sister and Mr. Crumpleman are
okay, so together. Let me just see if I can make a note. Mr. Navarro is who?
Mr. Navarro is the accuser.
Okay, but...
My kid's dad, yeah.
Okay. Mr. Navarro is the kid's father, right?
Yes.
Okay, and Mr. Navarro's sister?
Is Sandra Escarcega, is a parole officer.
Okay, so Mr. Navarro's sister is a parole officer. Correct. Right?
Correct.
And the sister works in the same office as Mr.
Crumpleman.
Mr. Crumpleman is
they the also accompany one another when they go.
Hold on a minute. Hold on. Okay, so let me just see if I can halfway get this right. Mr. Navarro is your kid's father.
Correct.
Mr. Navarro has a sister, and her name is what?
Sandra Escarcega. And she's a parole officer.
And she's a parole officer.
Correct.
And she works in the same office as Mr. Crumpleman.
Sit next to each other.
Okay, and Mr. Crumpleman is Mr. Tarrant's parole officer.
Exactly. So that's why we asked multiple times if they could move offices or if we could do something. The supervisor was aware of the situation from as far as March, April.
So which parole office do they work out of?
Right here where he was arrested.
Yeah, on cell 16.
Do you work in Depot, Northeastern Parole Office?
I've only been.
Where's it at?
I know the
16th Ave or 16th Street.
801 South 16th Street, where my main office is.
Yeah. And so multiple times we've asked, if, and he said, the parole officer told Mr. Tarrant that just moving him would make him a bad case. Nobody would want to take his case. So we had to kind of work with it. But because he had been put down to minimum supervision, they said that there was no worry, even though the sister-in-law.
So Mr. Tarrant, who's making the complaints? Mr.
Navarro and his now ex-girlfriend, who my kid's dad and his now ex-girlfriend.
So who's the ex-girlfriend?
Aaron Martz.
Not to interrupt, how long ago did they become ex?
And in the last month or so, they've only dated maybe four months, maybe, they were dating.
Okay, so during the time of this, they were...
They were, yeah. Now they're no longer... It's quite the...
Is your address in Hayden Place or is it in Kingston? That's an old TV series about this kind of situation.
This is quite the soap opera. Soap opera, I will tell you.
But let's come back. That's okay. Let's come back to the hearing. Does anyone else? I think we have the players figured out now. Are there any more, Mr. Quinones? No question. Okay.
We have one, and again, it's not pointed. But how long have you been in a relationship with Mr. Tarrant?
9 months. Now 11 months. He's been gone for 10 months.
Right. I just wanted to put in the context.
No, as soon as time. Yeah, so as soon as they found out, which was roughly March, April, that's when it all started. Because before that, it was very hush-hush. We didn't even know they knew each other until we started putting two and two together and we've seen her.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for testifying. And who else would like to go? Okay, and you are Isaiah, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, come right up and say your name into the microphone then and tell us what you'd like to tell us.
My name is Isaiah Morrow.
Okay, and what would you like to tell the board? It's okay, we're just regular people. Anything else? Let me see if my fellow board members have questions.
It takes a lot of courage to do this.
There's a question.
In the time you've known Mr. Tarrant and he's been around you, have you ever seen him argue with your mother in a reliable fashion, or have you ever felt threatened by him and his actions?
Never.
Okay, thank you.
Isaiah, it takes a lot of courage to do what you just did, so thank you.
Hi, I'm Tara Perdue, I'm the sister-in-law. I just want to say that I feel like this all came down to jealousy, and unfortunately Alex is the one suffering, as well as our family. He was thriving out in the community before they made these false accusations.
He wasn't served properly. He had no idea that this was even coming. He had a job. He finally found his niche in roofing. He was working hard. Everybody was proud of him. He was doing what he had to do. 2 weeks before he went away, he had baptized our daughter. We're a strong family. We meet every weekend for barbecues. We're involved in our church. He's going to come out, and we're going to support him and love him, and we're going to get through this together. And unfortunately, somebody made these false accusations against him, but I know that he can just come right back out and do what he was doing and keep going strong regardless of this.
Thank you. Any questions? No?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Miguel.
Miguel. Just state your name and the
microphone. I'm Miguel Darin. I'm Alejandro Darin's brother. Well, as I've been sitting here today listening to every case that's been going on here, it seems like everyone's been like open-minded and making the right decisions, But I just want to say there's a lot of bad things said about my brother, but there's nothing good on there. You know what I mean? He did his crime, he did his time. I feel like he owes nothing to DOC or anything, He's paid his debt. I believe him being in there for 10 more months would be a waste of time, a waste of more of his life. Not only that, he has 2 years of probation after he does his parole. This guy, my brother did 10 years, came out, found love with the first girl he met. You know what I mean? And he still has 2 years of probation after parole. This dude could still dangle his freedom over his head if he wanted to, just the same way he did it this way. And the only thing we could do for him when he gets out is just give him advice to how to avoid future problems like this. If it's like family court that it was about the mother and the biological father, he stayed away. It's just things like that that would help him in the near future. He just needs to learn how to fall back, let them deal with it. But it's a man thing. Another man seeing another man caught his children father, it hurts that person. I wouldn't want to see another man in my position, taking my place. It probably get me angry as well. And I'd probably do anything I could to just stop that or whatever. That's probably what this dude Navarro did, which I believe he did. But that's not going to stop these two people from staying together, being together. You know what I mean? Whatever, these people won't be together regardless. That's all I have to say. My brother's a good dude. He has a job. No matter when it is, he's going to get out. I'm just saying that it's just a waste of time to keep him in there.
Okay. Any questions from board members?
No.
Okay, thank you so much.
Hello.
Just say your name. Thank you.
I've known Mr. Darin for less than a month, but in that time, I've witnessed Mr. Navarro with his kids, and I noticed that they don't want to go with him at all. Like, they scream at the top of their lungs when she has to drop them off at daycare for them to go to Mr. Navarro's house or anything like that. But when they speak to Mr. Darin over the phone, I hear them, like, so happy, so enthusiastic to be talking to their dad. I've also heard Mr. Navarro say that the actions that he took was either going to be that one of them was going to die, or how would you rather explain it to your kids is what he told himself or Ms. Ellsworth. Would you rather them explain it that's the reason why he's in jail or why he's dead? One of them is dead. So I know, like, the accusations that we found, I even went with Ms. Ellsworth to the police department to try to get all the proof that we could from them, stating that Mr. Darin didn't have any involvement with Ms. Martz or anything like that. So I do have the records here with us. I don't know if you guys have them on file, but there wasn't any type of, like, involvement with him. So I know that it's out of pure spite, and I've noticed that, I've witnessed it, I've seen text messages, I've seen all that between Mr. Navarro sending to Ms. Ellsworth, still stating that what he did was out of spite. And he had the methods to do it. I mean, his sister's there, like, there's ways to get around it. I mean, the, also the, what was it, the, what do you call it? What was told was that in the state of Arizona, I guess you don't need proof to get a restraining order from somebody, that as long as you say it, that they can write it down. So that was another thing that was stated to us. So I know that Mr. Thunin is a good man, and I've heard it from all four of the children. So I do ask you guys to please take that into consideration and don't take any more time away from them. They're like really happy. Yes.
I know I'm asking you, you're at the podium right now. I did not ask Mr. Thunin's partner. What was it, wife?
Well, they're, I can say the wife, but they're not legally married.
Okay, okay. I want to keep it directed to the person at the podium.
Yes.
Are you aware of whether Mr. Navarro has a criminal history?
I do. We actually have records. We pulled up, I asked her to go pull records from Mr.
This is not, I mean, granted, this is not Mr. Navarro's hearing.
Yes.
But we got to put a lot of things in this story in context.
Yes.
So I might as well ask the direct question.
I actually do have.
Okay.
Yes, because he has been abusive towards Ms. Ellsworth, and I asked her to do that just in case. Just to have everybody that was involved to see that Mr. Thunin had no involvement. We pulled all the records. We're actually still waiting for the actual initial 911 call. They told us it was going to take 2 weeks, so we've been waiting 12 days already since we last went to the police department. We were hoping that we would have it by the hearing, but we still haven't got it. We have what we have here. I mean, I don't know when it's going to get there, but if I can't pull it after the hearing, I don't know if I can hand it to any one of you guys. I'll be more than happy to do that, because I know that there wasn't a 911 call and it wasn't addressed to him.
Right. Any other questions? All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Tutting, this is your hearing, and we're coming to the end of it. But we'd like to hear from you. What would you like the board to know? Just kind of a final statement, if you could, and try not to repeat things you've already told us.
I just have consideration for my family, because as you see, I can judge all my past and I've done bad things, which I mean, I really get so much thought to when I commit these crimes. But at the time, one thing that being happy with my family has made me become a better person, made me become a better man. And all I ask is for consideration for my family, because this is real hard. Just take that away from me, take that away from my family for something that was said that I did not do. And I just don't find it's hard for me. It's even hard for me to hear everybody's testimony and to try to speak now. It's just all I ask for consideration for my family. That's it.
I understand, sir. Thank you very much. The board is going to go into discussion. I'm sorry, sir.
Before we go into discussion, yes. Can I ask Ms. Ellsworth a couple
please,
questions?
Please do. Ms. Ellsworth, will you come up and state your name again for the record? Thank you.
My name is Ashley Ellsworth.
So what kind of visit? Do you have court-ordered visitations, or do you just have set visitations? What's the type of visitations you have?
I actually have court-ordered visitations. That's another thing. I didn't know, because it's not my hearing, if I could bring you. But one of the allegations against him on the restraining order.
Against him, when you say him.
I'm sorry, Mr. Tarrant. Against Mr. Tarrant is during one of our exchanges. We don't exchange. Per our court orders, it says at the daycare, because of a history of violence, and I have restraining orders against Mr. Navarro. I put in the paperwork, I don't want confrontation. I don't like face-to-face. We don't deal with each other ever.
So you have court-ordered visitation. So the visitations are, the kids go to the nursery,
yes.
To the daycare, and he picks them up from the daycare. And where does he bring them back to?
To the daycare. Even if it's so, gone as far on court order, I had to put, even if, say, it's a holiday, he has to hold on to them, because I refuse to meet face to face with him, because I'm scared. The kids are scared.
So the court ordered visitations that you have, when are they? Are they once a week?
He gets them every other weekend.
Sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Sorry.
I don't know what that was.
Sorry. He's supposed to, Mr. Navarro is supposed to have our children every other weekend and every other Wednesday. And during summer or breaks, we split 50-50, meaning if a break is 2 weeks, 1 week, 1 week, therefore. Unfortunately, he never saw the kids until Mr. Tarrant came in the picture. And that's when he started doing his parenting time.
So how long have you had the court-ordered visitations?
About 2 years.
2 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so it was just recent?
That he's been trying to come back into their lives and be an active role.
Okay. Can I ask Mr. Tarrant one
please
before we go? Mr. Tarrant, you were released in December of 2016. Is that correct, sir?
Yes.
Okay. So did you have any other problems up until the time that this situation started to occur?
No other problems, sir.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Mr.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Just to follow up on, and this is for Mr. Tarn as well. Mr. Tarn, you've heard all the discussion in here. We operate under the open meeting laws. It's been referenced more than once, a connection to the New Mexican Mafia. I haven't heard you say anything about that.
That's, yes, I did get caught with a piece of paper that was, at the time, I had shared a bond in prison with a savvy, so automatically we both get punished for whatever's in our cell. So as me being an active member or having any type of involvement with that Mexican mafia stuff, I have nothing, no ties, I have nothing with that. It's just something that happened to be found in my cell.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Ms. Ellsworth.
Thank you.
Before the board goes into discussion, I just have a question for Mr. Osborne, because this is a new situation. So, Mr. Osborne, Mr. Tarrant, yes?
Yes, I'm just trying to say something before you guys go into discussion.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
I'm willing to do anything, like any type of house arrest, any type of anything, land supervision, just to get back to my family. And I know I can do it because I know I wasn't doing anything wrong when I was out. So, I mean, if you guys could also take that into consideration, that's something I would gladly talk. I'll do anything just to get back out and show you guys that I can do it, you know?
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Tarrant. Again, just before we go into discussion, Mr. Osborne, has it ever been done that a parole officer assignment would be changed based on a recommendation of the board, in your knowledge?
I've never heard of it, but usually if there's a conflict of interest, we get people that are related a lot of times. Brothers, sisters, uncles, family members on parole, where they are assigned to different offices if there is a conflict. It does happen.
So if it were brought up that this, I mean, this does appear to be one of those possibly situations.
And emails already sent out on my behalf to a supervisor regarding possible conflict.
Okay, good. All right. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Okay. So the board is going to go into discussion, and Mr. Tarrant, the board operates under the open meeting law, so we don't discuss cases except right here, right now. We haven't talked about your case before. And we also do our discussion in public, so anyone can listen that wants to listen. So we're going to go into discussion, and it'll sound like we're talking to you, or it might sound like we're talking to our guests here. But we're not. It's the board talking among itself. This is our first chance we've had to discuss this. So we're just going to ask everyone here. It can get emotional. It can get, just to ask everyone to just remain calm, just remain silent, and the board will discuss this and come back with a decision. All right, so the board's now in discussion. This is a difficult case. This is one of these that it appears to me to have the element of just kind of a family dynamic thing going on, family relationship, a little bit of jockeying for control. And it does sound like, you know, based on, I mean, we have a letter from Mr. Terran's employer. It says he was doing well. We have statements from his supporters here who indicate he was a help to the family, he was a help to the children. He's towed the line as far as his drug testing, all samples negative. He completed his anger management course as required. My only little bit of concern is the past involvement, and which he now denies, but past involvement in both the Psycho Tracy and New Mexican Mafia, the implication of threatening behavior, which continued in the prison discipline. There's drugs and threats mentioned by Mr. Osborne as part of the prison discipline. So there's kind of a threatening threat running through this. And then, of course, this new allegation. So that's kind of where I am on this, and I would like to hear what my fellow board members think about this. Mr. Quinones.
I don't think that what I have to offer is going to make the decision any easier, but I do hear what you're saying, in as much, and I have to be careful here because I don't have hard facts in front of me. I do know that prison gangs operate under a culture of intimidation, and that's disturbing to me. This is not to say that I am making some, like, that I have, you know, proof or making an allegation. All I'm saying is I do know that as a subculture. Yet, when I consider all of the factors of the domestic squabble, there's holes. And it's hard for me to see where the chips are falling, because we do have a restraining order. That much we do know. And we have a restraining order from both parties. And we've got a past with the former partner, real children involved, and emotions that can be very, very dodgy. Ask anyone in law enforcement, one of the most dangerous situations and mostly domestic violence situations. So I'm struggling a bit, and I'm flexible, and I am, as his brother stated, remaining open-minded, but this one's a little tough to navigate. Mm-hmm. Yes, Mr.
Johnson. That's okay.
I kind of agree, but I do think that I think that probably on both sides, Mr. Navarro and Mr. Terran, you know, both been probably alpha males. Neither is perfectly innocent of it, and I think that, you know, when challenged, you know, those things start to happen. I don't think Mr. Terran is going to be just threatening a challenge and just not saying anything, which would be the best thing for him to actually do, but I don't think that's going to be in his nature. However, this is a situation where we really are boiling down to he said, she said.
We are.
Yep.
There's no police report, no statement that the police were ever called. All the information that was done directly to the parole office. There is the parole officer. There is some conflict with the parole officer. Then Mr. Navarro's sister, Sandra, is a parole officer, and Mr. Crumpleman, I hope I said that right, as a parole, is his parole officer. They sat next to each other in the same parole office. And so there's definitely some conflict in there with the parole officer. I think that if Mr. Navarro goes to his sister and tells his sister something, that his sister's going to tell him what he needs to do in order to revoke him. And all Mr. Navarro has to do is make a statement and say it and just be done. And, you know, it leads me to to wonder that this incident also with Mr. Navarro involved to what now is his ex-girlfriend, and I don't know if his ex-girlfriend is not there anymore because of being involved or not being involved in this, or what that situation did that did revolve around. But I do think that Mr. Tarrant is in a very difficult situation, and I am supportive of returning Mr. Tarrant, reinstating his community supervision, and you know, possibly making a recommendation if it's within our guidelines to be able to do it, to have him change a parole officer. You know, I was looking at, he was paroled in December of 2016, and he's done very well.
Yeah.
You know, since
that time. Thank you, because that's the part I forgot to mention.
Yeah, he's done very well since that time. He hasn't. He hasn't had any problem.
I can't pitch that out.
So this situation here actually came up, and then according to this, got to get everybody's name. I'm trying to keep these names correct. Ms. Ellsworth. According to Ms. Ellsworth, that Mr. Navarro has been threatening and bothering against her, and before Mr. Tarrant even came into the picture, they had already had a court order visitation where the visitation was being done at the nursery, the daycare, because she didn't want to have any confrontation with them, and that there's been some violence throughout their relationship, which they do have, I believe, in a stated some documentation that they have, where there's been indication of violence prior to Mr. Tarrant coming into the picture. I think that if we could get that situation out, the baby finally said something.
Yeah.
That's what they
did. Yeah. So I'm supportive of reinstating Mr. Tarrant back on his community supervision, and I hope I know Mr. Osborne has been here, and we'll probably see to it that this conflict of interest is taken care of, and hopefully Mr. Tarrant can go to a different parole office where it won't be the same type of a hostile. I mean, you got a hostile situation, you got a family situation, you got a boyfriend, girlfriend, sister, brother. You know, you have relationships that are really more stronger ties and a relationship. And then in the middle, which is so sad about it, is you have these kids involved in the middle. That's the saddest part about it, that these kids are innocent and tied up in the middle of a situation that they really shouldn't be in. So that's
thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Neal?
Well, order against harassment. I spent 5 years working out of an office where we handled tons of domestic violence situations that weren't in progress. If Mr. Names here, Mr. Tarrant has not been properly served with that order. If he hasn't been, it's like it's not there. Once he's served, if he's back inside, he can't go to a hearing, but he has a certain amount of time to go in front of the court and give his side of the story. And orders against harassment and orders of protection are issued by the courts very frequently just on information given by one person who claims to be a victim. And the idea being that if it's really going on, you get the order out there. But then the defendant, like Mr. Tarrant, would have a chance to come and give you that story. And very often, those orders are immediately quashed once they see the other side of the story. So that in itself, to me, doesn't, you know, the fact there's an order being given by the court, it doesn't weigh me into leaving him inside. And also, the other thing that I really have a problem with this warrant, especially allegation number one, which is most of the information, it's like that court order. He was violated the same way in one of those court orders issued. One side of the story only. And there's no police involved. But everything I've seen since I've been here with this type of situation, there's some police involved. Or there's some witnesses that are reliable third-party witnesses. They're not, you know, biased one way or the other.
So I'm truly, everything I've seen, I'm very much in favor of returning Mr. Tarrin to society to finish out his term rather than leaving the inside.
All right, thank you, Mr. Ray. Mr. Canoes?
Just one quick follow-up, because I know we need to bring this to a close, and that is that, you know, a reminder that our top three priorities, public safety, victims, interest, inmates' rights, top three priorities. I just hope that public safety is not at issue here, because we got to look at the inmates' rights. And I think that Mr. Neal really tied it up pretty good. Thank you, Ms. Bicknell.
Okay, thank you.
One more statement on that, and this is what drew me away from worrying about a threat to society, is the young lad that spoke. He's old enough to really understand the situation and be telling the truth about it, and he says he's never noticed, seen anything, nor felt threatened himself. So, you know, within the household, I think Mr. Navarro's accusations are really blown out of proportion.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, board members. I'm going to make a motion then, and I might need my board members' help in with some wording, because I want to be careful, but I'm going to move to return Mr. Tarrin to community supervision with the same conditions, and then diplomatically worded suggestion that the parole supervision be reconsidered, the assignment of parole officer be reconsidered. Now,
To ensure no conflict of interest.
Exactly. Is it, what would you suggest?
You could recommend, due to conflict of interest, that parole officers be changed.
That's okay. What I will do. So then I would, Mr. Kimmins, where do I?
I think you can just put an asterisk at the end.
Okay, thank you.
It'll
so,
approve.
Okay, so that's my motion, that Mr. Tarrin be returned to community supervision with the same conditions that he had before, and with a recommendation that a consideration, because of a potential conflict of interest, consideration be made to change the parole officer assigned to this case.
Not the parole office.
I would say office.
Office.
Yeah, I'd say it's a whole different area.
A different parole office.
It's a big building, but still they can see each other.
Got it.
Right,
good plan.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And that is my motion.
Second.
Thank you.
Agreed.
All right. Let me write these down before I forget which.
While you're writing that down, can I say something, Mr. Tarrin?
Please do. Please say that.
Mr. Tarrin, you are on parole, sir. And while you're on parole, it is your duty and your responsibility to make sure that you do everything that your parole officer is telling you to do. I see that you've learned, especially from this situation, that the parole officer has a huge amount of control over what happens with you, sir. I would just recommend, sir, that not take this situation lightly, but that you make an assertive extra effort to make sure that you're doing everything to be in compliance of what the parole officer has you to do, whether you change parole office location or you go back to the other one, that you do everything within your power to follow through and do the things that your parole officer tells you to do, sir, okay?
That's exactly what I'm gonna do, thank you.
I'd like to follow up too.
Please, Mr.
Thank you, Ms. Whitehouse. One second, Mr. Osborne. And also, Mr. Tarrin, I want to say this too. Obviously, there are some restraining orders in play here in both parties, so please do everything in your party, control to avoid any conflict. The last thing this board wants to see for you, for your family, let alone embarrassing the board, is for you to be before this board again due to some sort of violent crime but a violent confrontation between you and the other party. I think the bad blood there is for real. So please stay separated from that. Please.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Osborne?
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to note, like I said, I'm here defending the state also, that there already is an injunction set, but also to possibly state no contact with Mr. Navarro or his girlfriend, if possible, at that time. I forget her name. They were both together, so
Thank you. So Mr. Tarrant, you've heard the discussion, you've heard the board has voted to return you to community supervision. You heard my reservation during discussion, and specifically with your past, whether or not you're involved with them anymore, that's still back there, and that still is a little bit of a concern. Sometimes the day of this incident that's described in the warrant, seeing each other across a parking lot, or knowing that my car is 10 spaces down from your car, a look can be perceived as a threat. Just looking at the person. So just as Mr. Quinones said, Mr. Johnson said, this is in your control. You have to avoid, both you, your wife, you've got to do your very, very best to avoid any, don't even look, and be very, very careful, because the board is going out on a limb a little bit for you, because we believe you can do it, and we believe you have a supportive group, but we're asking you to please don't let us down. Don't let your family down. Don't let this board down. Okay, Mr. Turing, can you live with these conditions?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Then your hearing, thank you for participating, and thanks everyone in the room, and your hearing is concluded. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Osborne, did you notify the negative?